This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Later on, if we get the chance, we'll give you an update on what's going on with the Internet Archive, in case you didn't know. And I didn't know this until just a couple weeks ago. They've been sued by book publishers over running a library, a digital library. And we can explain that a little bit more, because it's a strange concept. Like, why would you need to have a library of digital things? We'll get into that. With you tonight, it's Ian.
And Chris.
We've been talking about the money situation, the banks on the edge, according to renowned economist Nouriel Roubini, who, according to RT.com, predicted the global financial crisis of 2008. He's issued a grim assessment of U.S. banking's status, saying that they are, most banks in the U.S. are technically near insolvency, with hundreds already fully insolvent. So if you want to comment on that, you're welcome to. Also, if you've been out trying to buy gold and silver recently, how's that been going for you? Because apparently it's going pretty crappy for a lot of people. We just found out tonight that APMEX, which is one of the, you know, premier dealers online, as far as where you can go and buy, you know, you need an ounce of gold or silver or something like that, you can go there and buy those things. But right now, they have a minimum $250 order in place at APMEX, and at their competitor, JM Bullion, there's a similar warning up on top of their website. There's no minimum order at JM Bullion, but they are saying that things are delayed, that it's going to take 2 to 3 days longer than normal due to strong demand just to ship your orders out. So definitely some serious issues out there with people just trying to get their hands on some alternatives to the dollar. And as things get more and more desperate, as these banks, if they continue to fail, and all it's going to take is a run. That's all it's going to take to push these banks that are over-leveraged, they don't have the money in their vaults to handle any significant, maybe even insignificant demand on the part of their customers. You know, all it's going to take is for enough people to show up to these banks and push them over the edge. So what's going to happen if you try to buy your gold and your silver later on? It's going to get even more difficult. Prices are going to go up. Right now, gold's over $2,000 per ounce. And that doesn't happen very often. That hasn't happened. It's happened a couple times, I think, in the last few years, but it's pretty rare. Silver is over $25 an ounce right now, which I haven't even checked on the price of silver in a while. I figured it was still around 20. No, it's up to $25 an ounce right now. So, you know, I can't make any recommendations to you. I'm not a financial advisor. I don't give financial advice. But if you're looking to buy these precious metals, they're getting harder to find. A lot of them are sold out. The comments by Roubini came weeks after the U.S. banking sector was hit by a wave of failures after the collapses of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. The turmoil spread to Europe, engulfing Switzerland's second-largest lender, Credit Suisse, which was forced to merge with their rival, UBS. According to the analysts, the pandemic-related economic decline aggravated the, and let's be clear, it wasn't the pandemic that created this decline. It was the U.S. and the other governments of the world locking people down, preventing them from running their businesses, while at the same time turning to the printing presses, at least here in the United States, and printing out trillions of dollars.
Yeah, that was not exclusive to the United States.
No, it wasn't. No, all of the central banks were running the same playbook. I believe I saw it was like $29 trillion or something that got printed.
Same scam.
Around the planet. So, you know, then they handed all that money out to their buddies in the corporate world and then gave a few checks to the little guys. And, of course, now the dollar is worth even less than what it was just a few years ago. And everybody's seen it. Everybody knows that's true. If you go to the grocery store, you know that's a fact. According to the analyst, he said many of these financial institutions are now in shaky positions. He stressed the current situation was induced by such factors as the high level of debt held by businesses and households, as well as the overvaluation of assets such as stocks and real estate. He added that hawkish policies pursued by the U.S. Federal Reserve inevitably increase pressure on lenders' profitability by squeezing the difference between the interest they reap on loans and the interest they shell out on deposits. The economist highlighted the risks run by the lenders in an attempt to generate more profits amid constant rate hiking made them more vulnerable to potential losses. So, you know, and this guy is called Dr. Doom, so, you know, that's the message he's going to be delivering. But the message from the bankers is like you were saying, oh, no, everything's fine here, your money's safe, the banking system is safe. That's what Joe Biden has said. That's what the Secretary of the Treasury has said.
You know, it's kind of funny, too, to say, your money is safe while the money loses value, right? Like, it's on the steep decline in value, and sure, you can withdraw it, and you can do what you like with it, but it becomes worth less and less and less until you basically get to zero, and the bank might as well have collapsed and not given you anything back.
You can't buy as much today with $100 as you could 2 years ago. Or even 1 year ago. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm. This is why they say don't invest in dollars. Invest in things that go up in value.
Yeah, no, dollars aren't an investment.
No.
Dollars are just a method of exchange.
Yeah.
It's just the most commonly received method of exchange that you can use. So that's why you tend to have them, or at least there's the feeling like you have to have them. Now, Joel Valenzuela, who's a free stater, he's a liberty activist who moved here to New Hampshire, I don't know, maybe close to a decade ago at this point, as a part of the Free State Project, this migration of liberty activists that come here to New Hampshire. He moved from Arizona, and he, I believe in 2015, went all in on 100% crypto. So he does not use the dollar. He doesn't have a bank account. He's got some, you know, tools that he uses. Like, I'm sure he uses crypto debit cards, or he's buying gift cards and things like that online. But, you know, hopefully we'll be able to have him on at some point to kind of give us an update on how things are going. What are some of the tools that he's using to stay crypto only, 100%?
I love the idea of living off crypto, but I have to say I can't wait for the day that somebody lives off crypto without the cheats.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're too far away from that, unfortunately.
It's not here yet, but it's getting close, and it's
not that close, dude. It's not.
It's getting close. I mean, it's getting closer. It is. Okay. First of all, I will tell you, I have car insurance I pay with crypto.
Okay.
I have business insurance I pay with crypto. There's all sorts of things that I pay with crypto that you wouldn't even think you could get, right? And Those are just a couple.
I'm thinking about real life, though. Okay, like going to places in real life and spending cryptocurrency.
Sure,
it's near. I mean, Keene is unusual.
Well, but this is what I'm talking about, right? Like, I'm not saying we're there yet.
No,
but if you're in the right area, like Keene, and there are some things that you know you're not.
Keene's worse than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, and Keene's certainly not perfect either. Like, I mean, I still have no place to. Get my oil deliveries, right, and pay with crypto.
Yeah,
I still don't have, you know, a gas
station.
You can't
pay the garbage guy.
Right. I'm trying to think if I paid for the garbage guy at one point in crypto. I don't know if I did or not. I did have a person who probably would have taken
a free
crypto. The garbage, but he passed away many years ago.
Oh, jeez.
So.
Well, that's why we need more people. I mean, we have to have more people here in New Hampshire who value these ideas of these alternatives, because without that base, this goes back to what you were talking about earlier with that point of saturation that, let's say it's 10%. I've heard it's 10%. I don't know if that's the actual number, but let's just say it's 1 out of 10 people have a certain thing. You've hit a certain point of saturation. Then it tends to get a little more popular, a little faster from that point forward. The acceleration of the adoption starts to occur. We can make that 10% happen sooner by actually concentrating the right people who have the same values, who understand that cryptocurrency and or, you know, gold or silver as alternatives to the dollar is something we should be pursuing, and have those people come literally, physically into the New Hampshire economy, then you got more people asking business owners, hey, you know, are you taking Bitcoin? Can I pay with goldbacks? The more people that ask those questions, the more businesses will start to come on board. And then the closer we will get to this vision of actually being able to spend these things.
Yeah.
So we can make that happen sooner. You can seed the ground, seed the economy by, you know, sort of artificially, right? Like, I mean, it's not art. Is it artificial? Well, you know, we still have to attract people here. We have to have real reasons to attract them here. But they're coming. More people are coming now than in the whole history of the Free State Project.
I don't think I'd call it artificial.
No, I wouldn't either. Yeah. It's just, it's purposeful. Maybe that's the right word. Intentional. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that can help, right? If you have enough people of the same viewpoint in a given geographic area, that viewpoint spreads. The viewpoint becomes more acceptable. And we still have a lot more people that can join us here. So please, if you haven't checked out the Free State Project and you're a liberty-minded person, you owe it to yourself. Let's go to David in Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, David.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
Yes.
Have you guys ever heard of a thing called Liberland?
Oh, yeah. We've interviewed Jit, I believe, Vidjika, I'm not sure how you pronounce his last name, but the president of Liberland. We've had him on the show before.
I'd heard about it a long time ago, back when it was kind of first being a thing, and I was like, I didn't pay that much attention to it, but I was just reading about it a little earlier and decided to apply for the e-residency card.
Oh, okay, well, why don't you explain to our listeners what it is? What is Liberland?
So Liberland is a micronation, and they want to claim the spot between Serbia and Croatia. There's a little spot that was that has been claimed by no nation and no private entity since 1991 with the dissolution of something or other. But anyway, it's completely uninhabited right now, and it's between Croatia and Serbia, and neither of them lay claim to it. And so this person basically is like, well, if no one wants it, we'll take it. And so he's made a government with him as the president. There's two vice presidents and a council of like 20 representatives or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you can apply for it. You can apply to be an e-resident from anywhere in the world, and they'll send you, an e-resident card, and you can also apply to be a citizen.
Choosy about that, the last I heard, right? Is it just the citizenship that they're choosy about? Like, you gotta, as I recall, you have to bring something to the table. You can't just be Joe Blow on the internet who wants to have their passport from Liberland. You gotta, like, I don't know if it's a money thing or a skills thing or something. You've gotta contribute something to that.
I was just thinking, does that citizenship obligate you to enroll in some sort of military, conscription? You know, are you like? What's the benefit, and what do you end up surrendering as a citizen?
Apparently, not a whole lot. They have a constitution, and I briefly skimmed through it to look at some of the articles or whatever, and it looks like they will not have a standing army of any kind. Unless it's required. It's kind of like the whole porcupine thing, don't aggress unless aggressed upon,
okay.
That kind of thing. And there is no taxation. Government is like voluntary, so basically you can volunteer to donate to the government, and if, like, for example, if they pass a bill, like if the government passes a bill that would require the government to go into a deficit, the congressmen or assemblymen or whatever have to make it up out of their own personal assets.
Hmm. Well, there is no physical existence to their, you know, apparatus, unfortunately, at this point. They, last I heard, had yet to actually establish a permanent facility on the disputed land, which, as you said, is what they call a no man's land. It's supposedly not claimed by either Serbia or Croatia, but what they learned early on, and it's been some years since we've heard any real updates about Liberland on this show, But what they learned early on was that if they tried to go on to this particular, essentially it's an island in the, I believe it's the Danube is the name of the river. It's like a swamp, basically. Yeah. And so...
Inhabitable.
When they try... Well, you can make a lot of things habitable.
That's true. But it's not currently inhabitable.
Well, they just aren't able to get there, basically, because the Serbians or... maybe it was the Croatians. They'll send, like, police boats out and arrest you if you try to go there.
Now, which is kind of funny, because that seems to suggest that they're claiming...
They're claiming it. But they're not, anyway, David, have you heard any updates about that?
Yeah, from what I understand, actually, now there's something to do with Hungary, which I guess has a border with it as well, and so you'll be able to go to it through Hungary in, like, 2023 or 2024. But apparently they're selling, like, two-bedroom, basically, houseboats for, like, $45,000, and you can park your the houseboat at the border or whatever, right at the river until the... until the actual landmass is established, and that gives you the place to live and residency in the physical place. And but apparently you can get to it through Hungary. It's either going to be this year or next year. They're actually selling the boats and making them now. So I guess they're going to do something.
I'm still waiting for somebody to actually, like, land on the island and then, like, remain there. Because if there's going to be some sort of force that comes after you, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's got much hope of going anywhere.
Well, we saw what happened with the Seasteaders when they went out to Thailand. Yeah. I think it was Thailand. And they went off the coast of Thailand in supposedly international waters and set up their little seasteading platform.
Yeah.
The Thailand government went in there and they raided the place. Luckily, the people that were living there happened to be on the mainland at the time doing some shopping or whatever, and they found out while they were on the mainland through watching the news that their homes were being destroyed and set ablaze. And they managed to escape from the country without being caught, because otherwise they would have probably gone to prison for a very long time.
Was it prison or execution? I thought it was execution.
Yeah, I think they execute you if you insult the king. I don't know if they would have gotten executed for.
I thought there was some claim where the or I thought the, I thought it was something like
oh they did say it was a threat to the nation or something
up to execution because it was a security threat to the nation or
wouldn't surprise
something like
me.
That or an act of war or something like crazy.
Was it actually international waters? Because from what I understand, international waters start like 230 miles from the coast of a nation.
Well,
so if you're not any less than that, you're in the exclusive economic area.
It is international waters. I think it was, but I think the international waters are like I don't know, way less than 200 miles out.
Yeah.
They basically have rights.
24 miles.
They have rights to. Like oil, 200 miles out, or fish resources, like fishing. You're not allowed to fish.
Exclusive economic area.
Yeah, exclusive. Right, that's the term. Exclusive economic area. So they were within the exclusive economic area, but it was technically international waters.
I did not know that there was a difference. I thought they could. I thought they could get you if you were anywhere within that EEA.
I'm seeing a couple of different numbers here. I'm seeing 24 and I'm seeing 12, but it sure as hell isn't 250 like you were saying. So it's not as far out as you might have thought. But, David, anything else you want to share tonight? Hey, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate it. And the Liberland thing is definitely an experiment worth keeping your eyes on. It's very interesting. It's been going on now for, like, I don't know, a decade, I think, at this point, or close to it, it feels like. So if you're a big fan of it and you know the latest on it, feel free to give us updates as you learn more. I am not on an email list or anything like that, so I don't know, at any given moment what the latest is there. But I wish them the best. I really hope that that it works out for them.
It would be cool if I thought it was feasible. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any chance they can possibly get anywhere with that approach. But I definitely think it would be really cool if that was something that, had some realm of chance, I guess.
It's an interesting idea. I don't know if it's any less of a chance than, the Seasteaders. You know, that's a pretty wild idea, too.
I would agree. I think it's probably right up there with seasteading. I don't know that you can make either of those things work. You need a lot of people, and in order to make something like that probably work, and how do you achieve that? I mean, the one thing that the Free State Project has been able to do is they've been able to achieve a lot of people in a concentrated area. And things have changed as a result of that. It's New Hampshire's not independent or anything like that, but that wasn't even the goal exactly. So,
so according to the government's own website, America.gov, or at least I presume this is the American's government's website, it says a state controls territorial waters that are up to 12 nautical miles from shore, but it can punish violations of its customs, fiscal, immigration, and sanitary laws that occur within its territory or territorial waters in a quote-unquote contiguous zone that is up to 24 nautical miles out. So that's why I was seeing a 12 and a 24 number. So basically they got up to 24 miles out into the so-called contiguous zone. States, they say, have control of all economic resources in the exclusive economic zone, which extends up to 200 nautical miles. So that's where maybe David was hearing the 200-something number from. So the exclusive economic zone is up to 200 nautical miles from their shore, which is considered international waters.
You know what's interesting, though, about all this is that's the agreement, right?
Between states.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not reality, right? And it's kind of interesting in that countries, against you and I, they're powerful, right? Mm-hmm. They're powerful entities that, they can exert control, in some cases, in other countries.
Sure.
Like the U.S. bullying countries and getting extradition, for things that aren't even illegal. I think this is kind of the situation. Was it Thailand? It was Thailand, wasn't it?
I believe it was.
Yeah.
With the seasteaders, you mean?
Yeah. But I think Thailand is a perfect example. I mean, of this, situation where just because, in theory, what they were doing was, completely within international law, that doesn't mean that individual countries are going to respect that. And if you look at the United States doesn't respect that either, in that they go after drug smugglers in international water that's beyond the 200-mile mark. Mm. And that's not international. Under international law, that's not legal. And Canada refuses to cooperate with U.S. in terms of those arrests because they're not legal under international law.
The number, if you want to join the show, 603-283-6160. You can bring up whatever you want. The difficulties in hiring people these days, we can talk about that. Twitter's censorship that's going on now. It's Free Talk Live.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Vice President Harris will meet with the two black Tennessee lawmakers who were expelled for leading gun violence protests in Nashville. Harris will meet with Democratic state reps Justin Jones and Justin Pearson. The two were ousted from the state legislature for demonstrations on the floor following the deadly school shooting in Nashville last month. Video reportedly shows a bystander ignored dying Cash App founder Bob Lee as he begged for help.
The 43-year-old creator of the mobile payment app was found stabbed to death near downtown San Francisco early Tuesday morning. Surveillance footage obtained by the San Francisco Standard shows Lee lifting his shirt to show a driver of a parked car his stab wound, but collapsed to the ground as the car drove off.
That's Mark Mayfield reporting. Chocolate poisoning in dogs shoot up during the Easter time. An expert from the Kennel Club says dogs' keen sense smell allows them to sniff out treats. Dave Collins, USA News.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yep, it is Free Talk Live, and the phones are open. If you want to join the show, you can. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. It's Ian and Chris here tonight, and we are going to continue with some news that you might find of interest. If you want to join the show, you can at 603-283-6160. A story I mentioned last night, but we didn't have a chance to get to. And Chris is somebody who hires people on occasion. You may have some understanding of this problem. And that is that it's getting harder to find not only workers in general, because, I mean, every time Bonnie and I, on occasion, you know, I have to go to my lawyer's office, and it's been like 2 years now that this Crypto 6 case thing has been going on, more than 2 years, actually. And so I've stopped off at my lawyer's office on a few occasions, a lot of occasions over the last 2 years, and we like to go out to get some lunch afterwards on the way back to Keene, and there's a certain spot in Concord where we like to go, the Red Arrow Diner, which is like this cool little diner that's used to be 24 hours until COVID and hasn't been 24 hours since COVID because they can't find enough people to go to work.
I don't know if there's a single place since COVID that was 24/7. We had a lot returned. Of them in Keene.
You mean that's gone back to 24 hours?
Yeah, that's returned to 24 hours.
Yeah, there was a 24-hour grocer in Keene. That's no more. Yeah. That's no more. They're still there, but they're not 24 hours.
I don't even think like CVS or Walgreens is 24 hours.
I think CVS is still... I don't think CVS ever went non-24-hour. I think they are still 24-hour there.
Really?
And let's see.
I thought they were not 24 hours for some point, but maybe I don't recall Walgreens.
That. I don't recall, but yeah. I know that there was a gas station here in town, the Cumberland Farms, that was 24 hours, then stopped being 24 hours, but I believe they've gone back to being 24 hours. So it hasn't been a total disaster.
Don't think so. We were looking the other day, and I think they're still closing at midnight.
Okay, that's not what I heard from nobody who's a fairly regular customer.
I have to look this up now because I could have sworn it.
Yeah, it hasn't been a total disaster as far as losing all the 24-hour businesses, but there's definitely some that just never made it back. They just don't have the staff to assist them. So you got to hire people, but it's hard to do that. The restaurant I was telling you about, it's across the street from a McDonald's. It's next door to a gas station. And those two businesses, the gas station and the McDonald's, have had on their marquees for 2 years hiring signs. That's all their marquees have been dedicated to. Not what the specials are, not what the deal on gas or the deal on sodas or whatever. It's we're desperate. We need help. So what do? Well, you try to hire whoever you can, but who's applying? Apparently it's not the young people. And the young people aren't getting the jobs. According to the Wall Street Journal, Kip Conforti is hiring for a part-time position at one of two package shipping stations that he owns in Pennsylvania. He's filled these roles with high school and college students during the 2 decades he's been in business. Because, if you're package shipping, you want to have young people, right? Like, there's a package place here in town, and usually they got some younger people that are working there. You don't want to have old folks lifting 50-pound packages. That's kind of a, I don't know if it's an insurance risk, but it's definitely a risk having people like, people who have brittle bones doing heavy lifting. But he says that he's filled those roles with young people in the past 2 decades, but this time when he was hiring, his top candidate is a man in his 70s.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, if you think about when men die in the United States, it tends to be in their 70s.
Yeah. Definitely.
And from what I understand, the U.S., the average age of death or whatever, the statistic has been going down in recent years, since COVID or whatever. Mr. Conforti has grown weary of younger employees who, he says, arrive late for shifts, call out of work often, and spend more time scrolling social media feeds than chatting with customers. About a year ago, he tried something different, recruiting people who are more likely to carry AARP cards than the latest iPhone. He says the learning curve's a bit longer, but once they get it, God, it's refreshing. I say, this is what we're doing today, and it gets done. Their shift starts at 9, and they're here at 8:50. It's their work ethic, he says. Older workers are in demand at a growing number of companies. Perceptions of generational differences don't always match reality, but 3/4 of people 65 and older said in a Wall Street Journal survey of Americans' values last month that hard work is very important to them personally. Among 18 to 29-year-olds, only 61% of them said that hard work is very important. So that's 3/4, 75%, to 61%. So much for youthful ambition. People 55 and older are the fastest growing segment of the workforce. You believe that?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I kind of can because, economic prosperity has declined. And
so they need to go back to work.
Yeah,
that is true. As things get more difficult, as bank accounts fail, as the dollar continues to inflate, then whatever savings the elderly had for their retirement isn't going to buy what it used to buy. And that may be one of the reasons why they're going beyond just being bored and wanting something to do. That may be one of the reasons why they are going back to work. According to the federal data, they are the fastest growing segment. Again, that's people 55 and older in the workforce. Demographic shifts help explain the trend. People are living longer and having fewer children. And some retirement age folks have little choice but to work because of inflation and a weak stock market. But certain businesses are targeting seniors on the premise that age is an asset. The AARP, since 2012, has asked companies to sign a pledge to give workers over 50 a fair shot at hiring. Commitments rose 122% last year compared with 2021, says the AARP. The roster of pledge takers now features more than 2,500 businesses, from Bank of America to Microsoft to H&R Block, etc. Heather Tinsley Fix, who's a senior advisor for employment engagement at the AARP, says it makes great business sense to hire experienced workers. More companies are also recognizing the need to include age in their diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. KinderCare Learning Centers, which operates more than 1,500 child care facilities, signed the pledge last August to expand recruiting efforts amid an acute child care worker shortage. Their pledge program offers access to job boards and career fairs for workers over 50. Less than a year in, KinderCare hasn't tallied the resulting hires, but the payoff is definitely already clear, said their senior director of talent acquisition. He said, quote, there's a willingness from this group to work the opening shift or to close down for the day, to cover during lunches and breaks, and even be on call as needed. I could go on and on about the value and the benefits. So young workers are being outcompeted big time here, is what it sounds like. And of course, these are people who've been in the workforce for longer. They've got more experience. But you would think you'd have to pay them a little bit more, too.
I don't know about that. I think a lot of these are probably people who are taking jobs that were not their careers,
mm-hmm.
right?
Just something else to do.
Yeah, and it's a little, you know, spending money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not quite the same thing. I think one of the problems with the younger generation, and I'm not speaking. I don't know that there's a specific point in time, and I'm just talking about generally as you go from 80-year-olds down to, you know, 20 or 15 or even younger,
mm-hmm.
You will notice that there are more and more restrictive laws that have been passed over the decades.
That's true. It's actually harder to hire really young people.
Right, right. It used to be, you know, as somebody who's 80, they were probably working at, you know, they were probably working at 10 years old, right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
But if you start looking at, like, kids these days, I remember years ago when I was in New Jersey, I tried hiring college graduates, and I couldn't hire the college graduates because they didn't have licenses, because New Jersey increased the age in which you could be licensed to 18, and of course, at that point, you're in college, so you've got nobody to teach you, so you end up not learning to drive until you're out of college. And then
you're
at that
22
point,
or 24.
Well, yeah, and then at that point, it takes a year that you have to go around with a parent because they don't just give you a permit and say, oh, you can go and drive. You've got to now drive with a parent in the car, even though you're an adult, and it's just absolutely crazy. And so how do you hire somebody like that who can't get to work? You know, and this is babying, and this absurd overprotection of young people has resulted in them not learning, you know, basic work skills.
Like
basic,
showing up on time.
Right, basic life skills. They don't know how to manage their money. They don't know how to, you know, it's crazy, but this is exactly what's happening. It's like, how do you deal with that problem? I don't know.
You can't easily fix that.
It's
been indoctrinated for so long.
It is. And it's not something that has just occurred overnight.
It's been generations.
Something that's been going on probably, I'm trying to think, like, I mean, when did they implement child protection laws in relation to working?
It was before I was in the workforce.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's probably been since at least, like, the 1900s. But the point is,
they've been getting worse.
Good intentions, right?
Yes. The road to hell.
They eventually have a serious impact, and it's there are better ways to stop abuses than to say, oh, no young people can work.
Right.
But this is what we've done. We've gone from saying, you know, and it doesn't start off like that. It started off with, I don't even know, but like,
well, we got to protect the kids in the factories.
Right.
So, we don't want kids losing their arms.
Right. But then all of a sudden it ends up being, oh, you can't have a 14-year-old working for you because.
Well, right. Now it has gone to, and I think you're absolutely right about this assessment. Now it has gone to, oh, well, We just have to let them be a child for as long as possible. Childhood is just so important, and you never get it back. So we just need them to be childlike for as long as they possibly can. And that's why we see people pushing, you know, quote-unquote childhood back into their kids, you know, young people's mid-20s.
Yeah.
Right? They want them to be dependent on their parents and the state for as long as possible.
I find it. I cannot understand how people can call, you know, 18-year-olds children. Like, that's not a child. That's an adult.
It's a legal adult, but they are acting more and more like children because of exactly what you're talking about, right? Like, they're physically formed as adults. They appear to be adults at a glance, but in, you know, mentally, their age of development is stunted because they've been prohibited from doing things like you're saying, getting a driver's license, prohibited from going to work. And yeah, I'm sure you had a similar upbringing where you were allowed to. Did you work with like your parents or anything like that?
I did actually, not legally, of course.
Sure.
Because even when I was young, you know, it was illegal. But it wasn't the age in which you were legally allowed to work has been creeping up over the years.
Yes.
And the prohibitions on young people also, you know, make it impossible for young people to work, even if they're legally allowed to work. So yeah. it's not really just one thing. It's the combination of things.
I had the good fortune of working at my mom's thrift store in Florida when I was very young, like, younger than 10, right? Like, you can have your kids working for you. That's still one of the loopholes. You can still have your kids work at the family business. And so, for me, that was a really important time of learning how to, I mean, showing up on time wasn't an issue, right? My mom was driving me there. But dealing with customers and smiling when, you know, somebody's upset about something or whatever, right? Like, running a cash register. So
yeah.
These basic things that, as you're pointing out, young people don't get until they're 16 at the earliest in many cases. Because, again, even though it's still legal to hire a 14 or a 15-year-old, there's all kinds of legal requirements there. And so most companies are just like,
yep.
Not worth it.
Governments have regulated basically hiring young people out of the equation.
Right. And so what do those young people do? I mean, I don't want to call them kids, but again, they are acting very childlike because of this. What do they do instead? Well, they screw off, right? Because they're teenagers, and so they don't have anything else. They can't go and get a job. They're too old to, like, you know, be, I don't know, playing whatever kid games that they would play. So they're going out and they're causing trouble instead. They're, you know, blowing up mailboxes or whatever it is kids do these days. Or maybe just sitting on their phones all day. As they're pointing out here, is one of the critiques of hiring a young person is they sit on their damn phone and scroll when they should be stocking the shelves or, you know, doing customer service or whatever it is. So if they're not at work and they're not allowed to work, well, they go to school for some of the day, and then the rest of the day they're just doing whatever a child would do, right? Like, they're not advancing into maturity. They're not advancing into adulthood by interacting with other adults. That's the most important way to have a young person become mature is to be around other people who are already there.
Yeah. And they're not able to build the skills or begin to understand, well, what does it mean to be an adult and how do you interact with other adults?
And then they just get thrown into it all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Then they're out of school at 18. Maybe their parents push them out of the house and they have absolute zero responsibility, absolute zero understanding of how to live in the world. And so they come back home or they never leave the house in the first place. And then you have these 30 or 40 year olds that are still living at home with their parents.
Yep. Yep.
Which is going to be more common, by the way, under difficult economic circumstances.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm just thinking back, like, my dad learned to drive at 14. And I wasn't able to, you know, to learn to drive until I was 15 and a half, I think.
Yeah, that was the way it was for me.
Yeah, I think permit was 15 and a half in New Jersey at the time. But it's like, but they keep increasing the age. And it's, you know, and the argument is, it's a flawed argument, but the argument is, at least with driver's licenses, is that, oh, they're, you know, they cause more accidents. Well, yeah, because they're less experienced. If you increase the age, what you do is you cause a short period, a short window where there are fewer accidents, but you later on you see an increasing number of accidents.
The 20-year-olds that are going to have more of them.
Right. Yeah. All you've done is temporarily pushed into the future, inexperienced drivers on the road.
You're not making more mature 20-year-olds.
No!
You're making less mature 20-year-olds, people that are going to make more bad decisions, maybe drinking and driving or whatever other things.
Yeah. It's interesting. I actually think there's probably a good argument to be said that we should be teaching kids at a younger age, like 13, to drive, not pushing
them
off
until
18.
If they can reach the damn pedals, they should be able to drive.
And one of the rationales for that argument is effectively that if you look at teenagers, especially 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, they're going to be more independent. They're not going to be as likely to be willing to listen to you when you're teaching them. Whereas, a 13-year-old is, and as a result, they're going to pick up the skills that are needed to be a better driver.
Right. But if you can't drive to a job, then what's the point, right? Like, why do you need the car in the first place? You're only going to go cause trouble or something
that. And what you're also doing is you're creating dependence on a system. You're teaching dependence, right? Mm-hmm. So you end up with people who expect to be, paid by the government for, not working and not taking responsibility for saving for a rainy day. Right. And then you end up with a situation where you have all of these people who haven't prepared for the future, and when things go south, they go real far south. It's a catastrophe. It's a catastrophe waiting to happen.
We'll continue your calls and thoughts. Welcome on this, especially if you're hiring people. If this is what you do at your job, you're the boss, you're the human relations or whatever person, and you've had these stories, you've had these issues, you want to share your thoughts, feel free. The number is 603-283-6160. You're on the air. Caller, what is your name?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
What I wanted to say real quick is that I would hope that a lot of the younger generation nowadays is listening to talk radio. Now, I don't believe a lot of them are, but I mean, I think it would be a good thing to plant the seed on the internet more because I learned a lot when I was younger. I'm older now, but when I was younger, I learned a lot from Rush Limbaugh, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Because I started listening to radio a long time ago. And it really helped me quite a bit because, I always believed in capitalism, for instance. It's not perfect. There's no perfect system in the world. But capitalism, of course, has given more wealth to people in the world than any other ideology.
Especially free market capitalism.
I prefer free markets myself. We don't have that.
Free market capitalism. No,
you got cronyism right now. Oh, yeah.
Well, no, it's been going on for a long time. There's been people trying to use fraud in the system or force or, kickbacks or whatever.
Safety.
If there's a certain amount of corruption, we need to get out of capitalism. I agree with that part. That's been going on for a long time. However, what I would say is this, that, what was it I was going to say real quick?
Something about teenagers listening to talk radio?
Well, yeah, that is something I think we should be doing more to plant seeds for the younger generation because, some of them, they don't even like capitalism. They think socialism or something is good. Of them, I'm not saying all of them are like
that. That's not anything new, though. I mean, young people have been indoctrinated with that for, a long time. I wouldn't say that's worse now than it's ever been.
I would say this. When I was younger, people would talk about anything they wanted to, in politics, whatever, and any number of things with politics too. They never said, "Oh, I can't talk," or they never said, "I might offend you," or "You might offend me." Or
sure.
It was never like that. It was never like that. Thank God. When I was young, it was more like America was the way it's always been for like 250 years. Well, nowadays, some of the young people. Now, I'm not saying all of them, of course. No way. I mean, a lot of them, they're pretty smart, smarter than I am.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that. that will lead to us into a dictatorship if more and more people keep saying, "Oh no, I'm scared to talk," or they act like weird like that. It's just so un-American.
I get what you're saying. There's definitely a problem these days with topics being off limits, and you see it especially so in like the comedy world, right, where comedians in some cases are afraid to do their comedy sketches because they're worried, you know, oh my God, half the audience is going to boycott me or whatever, and there's just all these very, very cautious people out there now. Everybody's worried about, you know, if they're going to offend somebody, and that's a really unfortunate place to be when it comes to freedom of speech, there's no doubt.
Well, if you were to tell me you were a communist, let's just say you thought communism was the best form of system in the world, I would disagree with you, but I wouldn't get upset about it. In my lifetime, I can't change a lot of these things in the world anyway, no matter what. But the thing is, I would just say, if you believe in that, it doesn't go along with our Constitution or anything about America, but the thing is...
Well, I would say you should be able to have your commune if that's what you want to have. My message to communists is go ahead and have a commune. Just don't force me to be on it.
Well, this is the last thing I want to mention real quick to you. I noticed they're talking about now this deal where the... And I'm a strong believer in live and let live. You know what I mean?
Me too.
I support gay people and all that. I've been that way all my life. Mm-hmm. However, when it comes to men in sports, they'll always be biologically stronger. That I'm against 100%.
For sure.
Because you gotta, you know what I mean? And I'm not against transvestites or anybody. No, I'm not, never have been. But you gotta use common sense with this kind of stuff. I mean, there's no way that they'll ever win. The women will never win.
Hey, I got you, man. You're kind of all over the map here tonight. I appreciate the call. In fact, I actually had something in show. No, it's okay. I just, I'd like to focus on a couple of the things. The transgender story, by the way, is in the news. We haven't gotten to that either. And maybe we'll talk about it this weekend, but the Supreme Court has apparently upheld a transgender the Supreme Court has ruled that transgender athletes can compete on female school sports teams. So I gotta agree with the caller on this one. It's like, it should be something that each individual sporting athletic league gets to decide for themselves. And if an athletic league says...
Private. But yeah.
Yeah. If an athletic league says, we don't want to have biological males who wearing a wig or whatever, growing their hair out on these teams, then that should be their right to decide. But we got more coming up here. You can join us. Hour number 3 is on the way. It is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.